Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. My name is Heidi Richardson. I'm the head of EMEA Product Management in UBS Global Research. And today I'm hosting the first in our Essential Summer Read series, where our directors of research are going to be discussing their favourite books and must-reads. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Gareth Jenkins, head of EMEA Equity Research. Welcome to the podcast, Gareth.
Thanks, Heidi.
So based on the shortlist of titles you sent in preparation for this, it looks like you read a lot. But when and where do you do most of your reading? How do you find the time?
I do try and read a lot. I caved in a few years back and I started listening to books as well as reading. So for my more serious books, I tend to listen to them on my walk to work. So if you see someone with a very concentrated look walking through East London at 6:30 in the morning before the morning meeting, that's probably me grappling with AI, quantum computing, synthetic biology, military history, or Greek myths, something along those lines. My less serious reads, I do actually still read in the 1 hour before bed. I try and be disciplined and switch the screens off and kind of read for an hour before I go to sleep.
And it looks, based on the shortlist, that there is a lot of variety there. So how do you pick and choose what to read?
I'm pretty methodical with how I go about my reading. I tend to do a rotation. So I'll read one nonfiction factual book, then one biography or autobiography, and then fiction, which varies between sort of popcorn fiction and kind of Thomas Hardy and classics.
That is a very structured approach, I have to say. What kind of books do you gravitate towards and why?
I'm really open to most literature. In the same way that I'm open to most music apart from modern jazz, apologies to modern jazz lovers. So I read pretty much everything. But the ones, if I look at my bookshelves at home, I tend to gravitate towards inspirational survival stories, financial stories of financial failure. So things like When Genius Failed is a great book. Military history, so anything by Anthony Beaver I love. Mythical fantasy, classics, and probably my guilty secret is sort of fictional history. So if you think Ken Follett, Robert Harris, Con Egeland, I think I've read just about every book, and it helps that Con lives in the same village as myself and a few of the analysts.
Uh-huh. Okay. And are there any titles you're going to revisit this summer?
It's really rare for me to reread titles in literature because there's just so much new to explore every year and learn. I have reread Susan Butler's excellent biography of Amelia Earhart, who I'm a big fan of. I've read that a few times. I'd like to revisit probably this summer Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's less to gain new perspectives and more to kind of just reinforce some of the learnings from when I read it last year. It's a very, very good book to read.
And is there any summer reading you have that's sort of there to spark an interest in future research themes, the outlook for the year ahead?
Yep. As a former technology analyst, I love thinking about the future. So Ray Kurzweil's The Singularity is Nearer, I think, is seminal reading for anyone that cares about the future of AI and synthetic biology and other topics. Similarly, The Coming Wave by Suleiman, who was one of the sort of founders of DeepMind that was acquired by Google. They've really helped me frame how quickly this world is changing and, with technology and going kind of exponential in a lot of ways. And that's really, I think, hoping help frame how quickly as a research department we need to move on a few of these areas.
And I thought the choice of these two books is quite interesting because they both tackle the sort of exponential technological advancement, but from very different perspectives. Is there any sort of key takeaways you have? Because obviously these do come from very different perspectives, very different conclusions. Was there anything that you sort of stood out for you in terms of key takeaways?
Yeah, I think Ray Kurzweil for me is kind of an optimist, and he's been proven accurate in a lot of things, right? He's been looking at AI since, I think, early 1960s. And a lot of his predictions have actually subsequently come through, like smartphone adoption. He takes a very optimistic view of technology and paints a world of optimism. And technology has helped, you know, child mortality rates fall, life spans go up, and huge advancements that we often overlook in the press, you know, quite often think about technology as negative, and he portrays a very optimistic view. I think not just Suleiman, but actually Verity Harding's book as well, they're not cautious, they just touch on the dangers if AI and other technologies are left unchecked and unguarded. And I think that's a useful framing as well, which is, you know, some of these things do need guardrails over time, and we'll need to monitor and check them. So so they're quite different. It doesn't mean that they're not equally insightful.
No. And as you say, with these sorts of things, getting that broad church of perspectives is really interesting. And are there any books that feels most reflective on how you approach leadership decision-making?
There's lots of self-help literature for managers and I do read some of those. I think things like The Ajax Dilemma by Paul Woodruff's very good for that sort of thing. I like the more obscure ones. I take lessons from books perhaps that aren't obvious. Endurance by Alfred Lansing, which is about Shackleton's failed journey to the pole, is, you know, really insightful on strong decision making, rational thinking, trusting team members. So that's a great book. Human Kindness. I went through a tough period at work, like we all do, I'm sure, from time to time. And Human Kindness by Rutger Bregman helped me through that and helped me see that actually that there's a lot of good in the world. And it ties back to Ray Kurzweil in terms of, you know, an optimistic outlook on human nature as well as technology. So that was good. And, you know, I try and read lots of books around race and gender diversity, because I think, again, we need to do that. So, you know, whether it's The Authority Gap or whether it's Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race, I think there's a lot of interesting books around, you know, push for equality, which I'm a passionate believer of.
It's a great list. And lastly, do you have any wild card picks, something a bit lighter potentially as people are heading out on their summer holidays?
Yeah, I'm not sure a book about a sunken gold ship full of gold is particularly uplifting, but if you want a really great read, I would recommend Ship of Gold in the Deep Blue Sea by Gary Kinder. It's one of my favorite books I think I've read over recent years. It just gives you a great insight into San Fran and the gold rush, as well as kind of a bit like Titanic, as well as modern sort of ship discovery. And then the other one, which is a real popcorn read, and I've read most of his books, is Midnight Library by Matt Haig. It's really uplifting about sort of leaning in and accepting what you have in life, which is a good moral and a good tale for all of us, I think, from time to time.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's plenty of reading to be getting on with for the summer. But thank you for visiting the UBS Global Research Pod Hub. All of Gareth's essential reads will be in the description of the episode. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tune in again and share this episode with a friend or colleague, and look out for the next in our essential summer read series coming soon.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries and or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. UBS 2025, the key symbol, and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.